Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. But we'd love to hear from you. If you have a question, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. That number good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, this is just the absolute best time of the year for a believer. Why? Because we're going to remember, we're going to celebrate what Christ accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. This is the good news. And it's something that we need to listen to, we need to talk about, that we need to practice. We just need to do everything as far as this death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is all about. Why? Because that becomes our story. Mm-hmm. Just as Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, he escorts us through death so that we can experience new life in him. That's what believing in Jesus is all about. We're baptized into his death, into his burial, and he escorts us through that so that we can experience new life in him. And all of this is coming to know the truth about God. We understand when we've been made alive what God is really all about. And that's exactly what Jesus said that he came to do. He's standing before Pilate. Pilate is asking him various questions. And in John 19, starting in verse 37, it reads this: "Then Pilate said to him, 'So you are a king?' And Jesus answered, 'You say that I am a king, and for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world.'" Well, this is one of those stop-down verses. You look at that and say, wait a minute, he's saying something significant here. This is why I was born. This is why I've come into this world. And here's what he says: "I've come into this world to bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" An excellent question by Pilate. But Jesus came into this world to bring us the truth about God. Truth is simply a word that means ultimate reality. It's what's going to last forever. That's truth. And God is the ultimate reality, and what he is like is the ultimate reality, and what he says about us is ultimate reality, and what he's accomplished for us is ultimate reality. And Jesus Christ came to bear witness to all of those things. So when we look into Jesus Christ, we see what God is like. He came to make God the Father known to us. And as we look into the face of Jesus Christ, we understand that God is love, that God is a God of grace, that God is a redeeming God, that God is a forgiving God. This is what we learn about God when we look into the face of Jesus Christ. And that's the very reason that he came, to bear witness to the truth. Now, those who listen to him, who listen to his voice, they're the ones who are of the truth. There's a lot of people that are going to hear what Jesus has to say, but when he says listens, he's meaning not only hearing, but living it out, following, letting that become your reality. There's a lot of people that are going to reject what Jesus says about God the Father. We see that all over the world today. But there are some people who want to know the truth, and when Jesus Christ reveals the truth about God the Father to them, they listen and they respond in faith. That's what it really means to listen, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. There's a very strong aspect of this that there's nothing passive to it at all.
Yes.
It is a very active thing. I mean, we talk about amongst humans about active listening. I'm listening to you. I'm following you. I'm actually helping you in the sense of understanding what you're saying. Well, when Jesus is talking to us and we listen actively, it's because he's transforming us from the inside out, and we actually end up obeying. We end up becoming who he wants us to be, who he has called us to be, and therefore we're able to do things in this world that would otherwise be impossible.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So his sheep listen to his voice, mm-hmm. and they follow.
Yes.
When Jesus stood on the shores of the Sea of Galilee and he called out to Andrew and Peter, come follow me, guess what they did?
They followed.
They heard his voice, they got out of their boats, and they followed Jesus. And why? Because they saw something in Jesus that pointed to truth, pointed to ultimate reality, and that's what they wanted to know. So why did Jesus come into this world? To bear witness to the truth. If you want to know the truth, if you want to know what ultimate reality is for you, and ultimate reality is, as far as God is concerned, you're going to find it in the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him.
Except through him. That's Basic Gospel, friends. And, you know, here at Basic Gospel, our hope is that what you hear on this program every day is making a difference in the way you walk through life. And we hope that what you hear motivates you to help us move this message forward. Others need to hear that God loves them and has provided a full and abundant life for them. And we pray that you'll help with a gift today. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. And as you give this month, we're going to send you the proof. The proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Help us get the message out, friends, and when you do, request your copy of Proof, the Resurrection. Well, right now, open lines 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. If you'd like to speak directly with us, call now, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, this question came in off hours. Let's listen.
Hi. Hey, I've always wanted to know that alphabet for the letter J never existed during the time that Jesus was around, and so I've always wondered why it's spelled with a J and not spelled any other way. But, you know, if you give me some insight to the letters, the name, how that came about, it would help me a lot. Thank you.
Very interesting question, and he's right. The letter J didn't appear until around the 1600s, I think, and it's part of the English language, and so when we translate the name Yeshua from Hebrew or Greek or Latin, we're going to bring it over as Jesus.
Yes.
That's what it is in the English language. So when we say Jesus, we're saying it exactly the way we're supposed to say it as far as our English language is concerned. If you were speaking in Hebrew, you would say Yeshua or Greek or something like that. You would use the Y instead of the J. Why? Because that's their language. Mm-hmm. But we have a J. That's to distinguish from other sounds, and so we use the J in English.
Yeah.
So it's as simple as that. We don't. There's a lot of people that would try to make a whole mountain out of that little molehill, and we certainly don't need to do that. We just need to recognize that we speak English. In English, we spell it with a J, and we pronounce it Jesus. But when we say Jesus and somebody says Yeshua, we're speaking of the same person, the one that was revealed to us in the Word of God, God's testimony concerning his Son.
Well, again, it's Basic Gospel, everybody. That was a short answer, guys. It really was.
The shortest we've ever done. Maybe this is a record. This is a red-letter day in Basic Gospel history.
Yeah, indeed. Well, again, this question came in. You know, end times, it's a big deal for so many people. And this question came in concerning end times overnight.
Hi, my name is Christine, and I'm in Oregon. And I read in Revelation the people begging for mountains to fall on them when Jesus comes back. And the fact that it's never mentioned anything about the rapture. And people have taken some verses out of context and tickled the ears of people with this rapture theory. It's just not true. And many people are going to be deceived. And you have to stop teaching the rapture theory. Thank you. Bye.
Well, Christine, thanks for your call, and I think you're exactly right. Talk about confusion. There's a lot of confusion when it comes to end times. There are many cults that have developed theories and ideas about end times, and they've just scared the weebie-jeebies right out of people to lure them into these particular cults. And then of course, in the last 150 or 200 years with the rebirth of Israel and all of that, it's certainly become a front and center topic. And so everybody wants to know, are we in the end times? We get that question quite often. Are we in the end times? Can we expect Jesus to come back at any moment? Well, I think every generation from the time of Christ have believed that his return was imminent. Paul believed that the return of Jesus was imminent. Those in the first century, those in the second century, those in the third century, all believed that the return of Christ was imminent, and they could point to things that were happening in the world that seemed to be fulfillment of prophecy that would usher in Christ's return or his second coming. And certainly, every day we move forward is a day closer to his return. But when is that going to happen? We don't know. But here's what we do know, and this is where we really need to be unified around this truth. All the other details are just merely speculations. Jesus Christ is coming back, and he is going to judge the living and the dead. And the living, the judgment is eternal life. We're just with him forever. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's going to judge those who rejected him, rejected the offer of life. Their judgment is going to be eternal death, eternal separation from God. That's going to happen. We're going to receive resurrected bodies. The mortal is going to put on immortality, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15. That's our blessed hope. We know those things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. And that hope alone is what shapes our thinking here and now. Now, we can speculate. We can come up with all kinds of different ideas and theories, and we can point to various passages in the Bible that we think are going to prove our theories. But in the long run, we just don't know, other than what the Word of God reveals. Jesus Christ is coming back. We are going to receive resurrected bodies. We are going to be with him forever. Those who reject him will experience eternal death. We know those because the Bible is very, very clear. Mm-hmm. Anything else, let's just be honest. And that's what we need to do, is just be honest and say, here's what I think. Here's how it plays out in my mind, but it's just me thinking. And so if you disagree with that and you think it's going to happen in another way, we shouldn't break fellowship over that. Why? Because our unity is in the fact that we've been both made new in Christ by grace through faith in him. So let's maintain that unity and have some civil conversations about what may or may not happen in the future, other than what we do know.
I love what she said at the beginning when she talks about people begging for the rocks and the mountains to collapse on them and hide them. John is not saying that accidentally. It wasn't revealed to him accidentally, because this was called the revelation of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus is to be revealed. Well, everything in a sinner's life, everything in the world system, everything that Satan has ever touched has always been about hiding the truth. Rocks and mountains, please fall on me so that I don't have to see the truth. That's the contrast in Revelation, and she nailed it.
Yeah.
Jesus is true.
Yes.
Everything in the world system, however it looks, however good it looks or not, is false. And you've got that contrast all the way through. That's what gives us this ability to have these interesting conversations about things we don't fully understand, but we do know who Jesus is and that he's the truth. And if we're in him, we're in the truth, and we can look at him and rejoice.
Yes, and we're going to see him face to face.
Yes.
And that's just going to be amazing.
Well, Richard, you did a wonderful series called Revelation, It's No Mystery, 8 CDs. And tell the listeners a little bit about that. It's probably exactly what you've been talking about.
But, yeah. Well, it's really kind of a story of my life, because I was raised in a particular denomination that thought Revelation was one thing, and I fully believed that. And I discovered that that wasn't true, and I hated Revelation. Mm-hmm. Whose idea was it to put Revelation in the Bible? And one day after learning about grace and faith and Jesus and all of that, the Spirit said, Richard, read Revelation. I think you'll be surprised. And I did, and I was.
Yeah.
And this series came out of me reading through Revelation and saying, Lord, what's it supposed to be about? And I discovered that I didn't have to explain everything. There were things in there I don't understand, and I can say I don't understand, and everybody goes, okay. But there are things in there about Jesus that are life-changing.
Yeah.
And that's why I did this, and it was the most fun I've ever had putting together a sermon series, because literally I was about 10 verses ahead of the audience in this study. I would study and study and study and come back and say, well, here's what I learned. And then a few weeks or months later, I'd been studying and come back and say, well, here's something else I learned. Mm-hmm. And it all began to fit together. And it's the most peaceful, encouraging, assuring book in the Bible.
Well, it's called Revelation, It's No Mystery. And friends, if you'd like to get a copy of it, you can do that. You can simply go to store.basicgospel.net. You'll find it again, store.basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Marcus, who's listening to us in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, Marcus.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, my question is a quick question. The old nature or the sin nature, the old man, has the old man been removed or eradicated from the believer, or has he simply been rendered inoperative?
Well, Marcus, here's what I say on that. At one time, you were lost. You were dead in sin. The Spirit of God did not live in you. But when you believed, when you came to Christ, something changed. Your spirit, that dead spirit of yours, was made alive, and God's Spirit came to join your human spirit. So the old Marcus, the one without the Spirit of God, is dead and gone, isn't he? That guy is never going to exist again. But
Amen.
The new Marcus with the Spirit of God is here, and the Spirit of God is always going to be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, as that new person, you have a body, and within those members is the flesh. And
right.
That flesh still has fleshly desires, but that's not you. That's not who you are. You've been given the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God has given you new desires. And so, as Paul writes in Galatians 5, those two are in conflict, aren't they? So if somebody wrongs you, Marcus, your flesh is going to say, get even. But the Spirit of God, bearing witness with your human spirit, is going to say, forgive, be reconciled. And so as you step out in faith and extend forgiveness and reconciliation, you're not going to gratify the desire of the flesh to get even. So you just have one nature, a human nature, that is now indwelt by the Spirit of God, but you have some flesh hanging on it. And that flesh, like I said, likes to rear its ugly head. Mm-hmm. It likes to say things to you like, remember when we had so much fun gratifying this desire or that desire? And that's where you say, I'm dead to that. I've died to sin. And I'm going to reckon myself dead. I have no obligation to you. My obligation is to the Spirit. I'm going to listen to the Spirit and enjoy the abundant life that I have through faith in Him.
Amen.
So that simplifies it, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I appreciate that.
Well, you're so welcome, Marcus. Thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed.
We really appreciate it. Great, great question today.
Yeah.
Let me put you on hold. I'd love to send you a copy of my book. Well, he...
Just missed him.
Just missed him.
Missed
him. But if he calls back,
much.
We would love to send a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I talk about that a lot in that book. And if anybody's interested, that book's available through our website as well. We have a question on our YouTube chat deal. Beth wants to know about Matthew 5:29-30. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. It's where Jesus said, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. So it's in context of the law that said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So that was mercy back in the Old Testament, because that's not the way it was for all of the surrounding nations as far as Israel was concerned. If you took a tooth, man, they would take your life. There was no equality, so to speak. The punishment didn't always fit the crime. The punishment was always far worse than the crime. And so God inserted a sense of fairness, a sense of rightness in how they dealt with things. So an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But here he's saying, hey, but there's something better, and that is mercy. I want you to extend mercy, because mercy trumps judgment every single time. And that's all he's saying here, that we need to be merciful people, and here's how we can be merciful and not retaliate, not try to get even, not try to take an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth, but give them something that is going to make them stop and think, hey, there's something different in this world. Now, this isn't to be done through human effort. This isn't about us living up to a law. This is just about abiding in Christ. And that's what we do as believers. We abide in Christ, and the love of Christ abides in us. So he's saying, simply let the love of God be the measure of how you deal with people. Mm-hmm. And that love is going to have a facet of mercy to it. And so that's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about here. We get caught up and think, oh, I need to turn the other cheek and make sure I do it just right. And, you know, we can make this whole thing legalistic. And no, he's trying to get at the spirit of things, and the spirit of things is love. And the only way that we can manifest the love of God is to have the love of God in us. We love because God first loved us. So it gets back to that vine and branch. That's the relationship. We're dependent upon the vine. He's the source, and as we are, we're going to see his love, his life flow through us. And this is the way it looks sometimes. Yeah, Richard, any thoughts?
I love all of this section, because he keeps saying, you have heard that it was said,
yes,
but I say to you. And what he is doing here is making I am statements. He says, here's the law as it's presented to you by your teachers. Well, here's the law as I intended it to be.
Yes.
And you can't keep this law, but I can keep it in you. And there's the hope. Because if we try to do just what you were describing, say, oh, let's see, just how exactly do I hold my cheek? Yes. Well, you're going to get a really bruised cheek if you do that. If you've got Jesus, if you're trusting him, walking by grace through faith, he is going to stop you from time to time and say, be merciful.
Right.
And we can, because he's doing it.
And real quick, the other aspect of this that I think is so fascinating, because, you know, when you think about enemies, you think about those who are evil. The Jews were thinking about the Romans, mm-hmm. or the Samaritans. And God's purpose all along,
yes.
was to bring Jew and Samaritan and Gentile together in one body. Mm-hmm. So this is a foretaste of what that was going to,
yes.
be through the Spirit coming to live in all three different groups.
Yeah. Well, friends, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, an interesting broadcast. Hope you've enjoyed it and been edified by it. And this month, we want to say thank you to all of our loyal supporters by sending you a new CD revealing proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just click donate when you visit basicgospel.net, and we would love to get one on the way to you. Again, it's called Proof, the Resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember also that... Well, actually, Beth's call came in from our YouTube feed, and I want to remind you that. I want to keep that in front of you, because we have a growing number of people that are joining us on YouTube and Facebook every day, and you can link at the top of our homepage, basicgospel.net, every day right at 3 o'clock, and hear the live broadcast and be a part of it. Well, again, if you have a question or concern today or tonight, give us a call. That number, 844-322-2742, available 24 hours a day. Well, now for Bob and Richard and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.